actually going to have you talk to each other again in a moment. So last week, we talked about worry, and Mark introduced us to this experiment where we reflected on what are some of the things that we worry about, and we looked at the teachings of Jesus when he tells us, do not worry. And then we discussed some ways that we could try to subvert that worry throughout the week. I'm going to share mine with you, and then I'll let you guys talk to each other about if you were able to try to subvert some of the worry that you have. If not, then you can talk to Mel about maybe some of the things you worry about, things that you could do this week. So for me, I worry that I'm not going to get my work done. I'm a teacher, and I have lots of grading to do and lots of prep to do, and I'm just always worried that it's never going to get done. So I have set up practices for myself in order to set aside that worry, where I will say I don't grade on weeknights. I grade only on Sunday mornings, which is hard, which means that Sunday mornings are a lot of work. But I've made that commitment for myself, so that way, this is the thing I really learned this week, is that not only is it going, I'm not going to do my work, but I've been thinking about how in the evenings, if I'm still thinking about work, and I'm still worrying about work, and then I'm like, wait, but I'm not, there's nothing that I'm going to do right now to change it. So, like Jesus says, like, you're not going to change a hair on your head, you're not going to grow any taller if you worry, so it's not going to do anything. My work's going to be there in the morning, I know it's waiting for me, so just let it go. So that was the thing that has been going on with me. So, talk to each other. Things that you've been worrying about, things that you've done this week to subvert it. If you haven't, then maybe discuss some ways that you could potentially work through that a little bit this week. I'll give you a couple minutes to chat about that.
I want to
what we're going to talk about today and the experiments that I have planned for today. Casey is going to lead us as soon as I get this plugged in. Casey is going to lead us in a call and response prayer. So she's going to read what is written in white, and then you all are going to read what is written in yellow.
I know that I am cared for by an abundant provider. I choose to be grateful and trusting. I believe I have enough and that what I need will always be provided.
I choose to be content and generous.
I know that my choices matter for myself, for others, and for future generations. Help me
to live consciously and creatively, celebrate every time of your creation and present and coming.
Creator who made me to seek the greater good of your kingdom, guide me to use my time, talents, and resources
to pursue what matters most.
Teach me to be free, to live without worry, fear, or greed,
in the freedom of your willingness.
Give me my daily bread as I share it with those in need. Thank
you
for the
precious gift of life.
So, what we're going to be talking about today is God's abundance. And one of the things that actually, when Rick and Mark and I were kind of planning out this series, we met with Mark a couple of weeks ago. One of the things that Mark said that really struck me was that Jesus, he comes not just to show us how to live our lives, but he comes to tell us what life really is like. He tells us what reality is. He tells us the truth of what this world is actually like. Because we believe all of these lies about what the world is around us and what life is, and Jesus tells us, no, this is reality, and then we get to work out our salvation in trying to align ourselves with that vision of reality that Jesus shows us. So today what we're going to look at is, first we're going to start by looking at a truth, and then we're going to look at a lie, and then we are going to talk about an experiment that you will be able to construct to try to change that lie that you believe and start living into the truth that God has for us. So, to start, we're going to go back a little bit. We're going to look at the garden. So, in the scriptures that Jesus taught from, and Jesus believed, and that Jesus modeled his life after and showed us how to live our lives, it starts with this ancient Hebrew poem of creation, where God lays out God's plan for what a holistic life looks like with God. And one of the things that you find at the beginning of this poem is that there is a rhythm to it. Day one, God worked. Day two, God worked. Day three, God worked. Day four, God worked. Day five, God worked. Day six, God worked. Day seven, God rested. And so at the foundation of God's creation is this declaration that we need a rhythm in our lives, and that rhythm needs rest. And that God models this for us, that we all need Sabbath rest. So at the beginning of God laying out what a holistic life looks like, he says a human need, a fundamental human need, is the need to have rest. We all need it. We can't live without rest. At least live the way that God wants us to live. Now, another thing that we find in this creation story is that that God lays out all of the fruit, has all of these trees, and God says these trees are here for you to eat from, and that they're here to nourish you, and you are to eat the fruit from these trees. And so next, of course, another human need that we all have is food. We all need food that is essential for us to live, right? Now, when God created this world and he created the first human, then he looks and he goes, there's something that's not good here, because this human is alone, and it's not good for humans to be alone. So then God created a companion for the human, because we all need companionship. It's a fundamental human need that God says that we all have. And then the next thing, and this is a thing that I'm kind of struck by that is interesting, the next thing is work. God says that we need to have work. In this perfect creation that God gives us, he says, you are to take care of the earth. You are supposed to take care of the animals. And even when the first created human was there before having a companion, God said, your job is to name all of the animals. So you get to participate and be a part of the creation process in this world. And that fulfills this fundamental need that we all have. It's fulfilling to be able to create and participate with God in making something good. And we all get that fulfillment in our jobs, right? We kind of think of work as like this bad thing that we have to do that we don't want to do. But we all need it. And we know what it feels like whenever we aren't working. And it's fine to have a little bit of rest, but too much rest, you're not really satisfied, right? And so God says we need to have rest. We need to have food. We need to have companionship. And we need to have work as well. And God gave this to the first humans in abundance. God said, this is all here, and it's all here for you. But then this lie came into the garden and said, that's not enough. You need to have more. You need to have bigger. You need to have better. And this lie made it so that there was no longer believed that God's abundance is enough for us, and that we aren't living in abundance, but the lie says that we're actually living in a world of scarcity. See, Jesus, he came, and then he told us about this abundance that God has for us, and that God will take care of all of your needs. But the lie says, no, you need more, you need bigger, you need better. And this is a story that we're all familiar with. This is like a fundamental part of American culture, right? And storytellers through all the centuries have been telling this story about needing more, needing bigger, needing better. It's like we're all aware of this. We're all aware that this lie is a part of the story that we live. I think about how, so I'm an English teacher, and one of my favorite books that I teach is The Great Gatsby. And The Great Gatsby is this story about these rich, wealthy people who have everything, and it's never enough. And they are never satisfied. And they keep reaching for more and more and more and striving for more. And it's never enough. More, bigger, and better. Because they believe they're in a world of scarcity. They don't see themselves as in a world of abundance. They keep on grabbing. Even the very last line of the novel is so beautiful. And just like completely sums up the human condition, especially I think in America. Gatsby believed in the green light, the orgastic future that year by year recedes before us. It eludes us then, but that's no matter. Tomorrow we will run faster, stretch out our arms farther, and one fine morning, so we be on. Boats against the current, borne back ceaselessly into the past. So I'm going to get a little like English teacher nerdy here for a moment. Because this is like just one of my favorite lines in all of literature. So Gatsby just reaching, reaching, reaching for this green light, this symbol of everything he wants. It eluded us then. And like there's this shift where he's not talking about Gatsby anymore, it's about us. So like we're now a part of this story. So it eluded us then, but that's no matter. Tomorrow we will run faster, stretch out our arms farther, and one fine morning. So the writer is like, we're going to keep going, and we're going to try to reach for more, and bigger, and better. And one fine morning. Dash. Like, not one fine morning, you get it, but one fine morning. Nothing. You don't get it. You're just going to keep going. We want more, we want bigger, we want better. Even if we get it, we could get that green light, but it's not enough. We're not going to be satisfied with it, because we believe that we're in this world of scarcity, right? There's even, in other more modern stories, we see this coming up. Tony Montana in Scarface, his perfect rags-to-riches story, never satisfied, never enough, and it destroys him. Or then in television, Breaking Bad, which is one of the greatest shows of all time. I don't know if I can promote that show over here, but I just did. Where he's a high school chemistry teacher, and he starts cooking meth and selling meth in order to pay for his medical bills. And at first it just starts off as him going, I'm just going to do a little bit, just like, you know, pay my medical bills, that's all that I need. But of course it's not enough, he needs more, he needs to be bigger, he needs to be better. Until finally, in the final season, spoiler alert, after his wife Skylar has found out that he has been cooking meth and selling in order to pay for medical bills, then she starts laundering the money because she's afraid that her husband is going to get caught. Oh, I'm so sorry, Emily. Afraid that he's going to get caught, she starts laundering the money. But then one day she pulls him into this storage unit where she's keeping all of the money that he has been collecting, and it's up to their waist. And he says, how much is this? And she says, I have no idea. And then she asks him, how much is enough? At what point are you going to be satisfied? How is that not enough? But it's not going to be enough, because he believes he's in a world of scarcity. He needs to keep grabbing and keep getting more. It's over now, Emily. So when I was in college, I was reading a lot of these stories and seeing how this theme keeps coming up again. And like we're all so aware that we have this feeling in us that we just need more and we desire more. Another story that comes to mind, like when I was in college, I was reading Gatsby, and then also another story of Macbeth by Shakespeare, and he's promised that he's going to become king. And then He not satisfied enough with the promise of becoming king, so then he has to murder the king. But now not satisfied with that, he needs to kill anyone else who's in line for the throne to become king. Not satisfied with that, now he is king. Now he has to systematically murder anyone else that is in a threat to him being king. Because it's not enough. He can't be satisfied with it. He's king and still not satisfied. And when I was reading all of these stories when I was in college, I really identified with them a lot. Not that I identified with Macbeth, who I didn't want to murder people around me. It wasn't not in that way. I didn't want to become a bootlegger and a gangster like Gatsby. But I identified with this lack of fulfillment, this kind of emptiness, never feeling like it's enough, never feeling satisfied. And I would look around at all of my friends, and I kept feeling like everyone around me in college is smarter than me, everyone is cooler than me, they've had more life experience than me, they've done so much more exciting stuff than me, they have nicer things than me. And then I looked to literature, and I found that I could connect, and someone feels the same way that I do. Totally not alone in this. But it's still these stories gave me a way out. They just showed me there's a problem. There's an ancient rabbinic saying that says any old donkey can tear down a barn, but it takes a real special donkey to build one. So all of these storytellers are just a bunch of old donkeys, but I need a special donkey. But then you do look to the Bible, and you look to one of the early followers of Jesus said this: "I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances. I know how to survive in tight situations, and I know how to enjoy having plenty. In fact, I have learned how to face any circumstances, fed or hungry, with or without. I can be content in any and every situation through the Anointed One, who is my power and strength." So some people have gotten out of this cycle, right? Jesus says it like this. I love this. This is from the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says this: "No one can serve two masters. If you try, you will end up loving the first master and hating the second, or vice versa. People try to serve both God and money, but you can't. You must choose one or the other. Here is the bottom line. Do not worry about your life. Don't worry what you will eat or what you will drink. Don't worry about your clothes, on your body. Living is about more than merely eating, and the body is about more than dressing up. Look at the birds in the sky. They do not store food for winter. They don't plant gardens. They do not sow or reap, and yet they are always fed because your heavenly Father feeds them. And you are even more precious to Him than a beautiful bird. If God looks after them, of course God will look after you. Worrying does not do any good. Who here can claim to add even an hour to their life by worrying?" And he goes on a little further. "So do not consume yourselves with questions. What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear?" Outsiders make themselves frantic over such questions. They don't realize that your Heavenly Father knows exactly what you need. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things will be. So do not worry about tomorrow. Let tomorrow worry about itself. Living faithfully is a large enough task for today. So Jesus says that if you're living faithfully, God's taking care of you. There is abundance. You're not living in scarcity. Jesus says the bottom line is this: don't worry about your life. So when I was feeling all of these feelings of discontentment, I actually did that experiment that Mark talked about, how to give one, where we looked at the teachings of John the Baptist when he says, if you have two cloaks, give one away. And when Jesus says, sell your possessions and give to the poor. So me and Casey and Casey's sister and my mom, we went through our stuff and we found we had two of anything, and we brought it all together and we sold it and then we donated the money. And one of the things that we found in this is that we were fine. We were okay. We were no less happy when we got rid of half of our stuff.
we were probably even a little bit more happy because of it. Some of the byproducts that have come from this is that I now am, and this might seem a little bit silly, but I wear the same exact shirt every Monday. I wear the same shirt every Tuesday. I have my Wednesday shirt, I have my Thursday shirt, I have my Friday shirt. This is my Sunday shirt that I'm wearing right now. Taking these teachings of Jesus literally, I don't worry. I never worry about what I'm going to wear because I just go in my closet and then I just take out my Monday shirt. And that's just what I wear every day. I'm perfectly happy. Like, it is fine. Another thing that has come from this, which this is even sillier maybe, but these are the only pair of pants that I like ever wear. I have a couple of other pairs of pants, but I mostly just wear this one pair of pants. And one of the other byproducts that has come from this is that it's not merely just an act of like self-denial of just going, I'm not going to allow myself to buy any other clothes, but it's about truly enjoying the abundance that God has given you. My wife is shaking her head. Well, that's another part of it. She said, "Are you going to show the holes in your pants?" Is that like it's not just that I'm like, okay, Jesus told me that I can only have a certain amount of clothing, and so I'm going to just grumble and I'm going to do it. Like, it's not this sort of like aesthetic, like monk, like I'm like whipping myself. But I love these pants so much, and like I get up in the morning and I'm like, I'm putting on my jeans that God allowed me to wear, and they're so great. And then another thing is that I, and again, I'm sorry, this might seem silly, but if I get a hole in my jeans, because I've had these for a while and I've been wearing them every day, then they can wear out. But so if I get a hole, then I just patch up my pants. Which doesn't seem that revolutionary and countercultural, but it really kind of is. We live in this really consumerist culture and we treat everything as being disposable. But if I get a little hole in my pants, it doesn't mean that I need to buy a whole new pair of pants. It means that I need to use a little bit of thread, which is significantly cheaper and has significantly less impact on the ecosystem than buying a whole new pair of pants, right? So Jesus teaches us that we have this abundance and that we can live the truth of this abundance that he has to offer for us. So let's actually go ahead and get to the experiment, and let's see what things we can do this week to try to experience more of God's abundance. So Casey is going to pass out paper and pens. So one of the first things that we're going to do for this experiment is we are going to reflect on, I'm actually going to give it a minute to get this thing out. So essentially what we're going to be doing this week is we're going to try to reflect on what are the things that we treat as scarce by consuming more than we actually need, by going for more, bigger, and better, and how can we actually experience God's abundance and truly appreciate what we've been given. So a couple of quick examples of things. Say that it's just things to binge watch Netflix. And not that there's anything wrong with, like, taking a Saturday to go through all of Breaking Bad, because it's that good of a show. And I would not hold it against you. Because we need rest, right? And we need to be able to decompress and have some fun in our lives. We need that. God wants us to have that rest. But sometimes we can't tell ourselves, you know what? 5 hours of Netflix, that was not what I really needed. Maybe we can limit ourselves to less time. Other things, taking a second plate of food, perhaps, when all you really needed was to have that one plate of food. Or even working, because again, work is a thing that God gives us that we need, but sometimes we need to be able to step back and go, I'm satisfied with that. And God is pleased with that. And I don't need to push myself as far as I've been pushing myself. Couple of other quick examples of some things. One thing that Mark does that I think is really fun is that whenever I've gone on walks with Mark, he actually has, like, and again, it seems like so crazy to me, but it's not that absurd, but he'll be, like, walking down the street, and there'll be, like, a box sitting there, and he'll be like, oh, sweet, there's a peach in the box. And, like, I'm grossed out by that. There's, like, a peach sitting on the side of the road, but he's like, that's food. God gives us abundance, and he'll take home, wash it, and eat it. He also, the last time that we went on a walk, we're walking, he goes, oh, wait, hold on, I gotta get you something. And then he goes and he runs across the street, and then there's a sweatshirt that's hanging on the doorknob of a building. What do you think? Is this pretty cool? Do you want this? Is this good? This jacket I'm wearing, I found this on the street. He does it, and he actually will collect up if he sees, like, clothing on the street, and he'll take it in and he'll wash it, and then he'll bring it to this thrift store Buffalo Exchange, and then they'll give him credits, and then he'll buy, that's how he buys all of his clothes, by just finding clothes on the street and selling them and getting new clothes. Another thing about just living life intentionally, I know that Annalisa and Krista, they really value the time they have together to socialize with family and to eat good, delicious food. And it is a sacrifice to take the time to do that that becomes worth it. And also, I know that you guys mostly buy organic, right? Which, again, is like you can buy more food, or you can buy the food that is organic and better for the earth. And they make that choice. Emily and Brian, can I call you guys out? Can I share with you guys?
I don't know what you're about to say.
It's going to be good. So Brian and Emily have recently made the commitment that they're only going to be, and now we're going to hold you to it, because it's public, but they recently made the commitment to, instead of using their money to buy more clothing, they are now only buying clothes that are made slave-free and made in America, or at least made under good conditions. So those are some examples of things that you can do. I'll tell you, for me, really quickly, so a thing that I've been doing is finding that a lot of times in the evenings, my wife and I, Casey, we will spend our evenings just like flipping through our social media feed, and it just becomes this time suck, and before you know it, it's like 2 hours later, and you feel like you haven't really enjoyed and rested, and you're just like in a YouTube vortex, and that's not the satisfying rest that God has. So one thing that I do, and I haven't been great at it, so I'm going to recommit myself to it this week with you guys, is that when I come home from work, I hand my daughter my cell phone, and I say, I'm at home now, I'm spending time with my family, take my cell phone, and then put it over there. And she puts it on the ledge, and then I don't touch it. Again, I haven't been great about it the past few weeks, so hold me to it. And then also, Casey and I, our evenings, we've committed. One night of the week, we're going to read, because I do find real fulfillment and rest in reading, as opposed to being on my phone. The next night, we're going to watch a film, because Casey loves watching movies, and to intentionally watch a movie and enjoy it is different from just mindlessly being on their phones. And then the next night, we'll do an activity, play a game together, or whatever. So these are some things that we might do. So the first thing we're going to do is take a moment. Did I actually have one? So brainstorm three things you treat as scarce by consuming, taking, or doing beyond your need. So take a moment to think of three things that you can see beyond you.
truth that we do live in abundance and not in scarcity. And that we need to wake up to this reality. Paul, an apostle of Jesus, seems to have woken up to this reality, saying, I learned to be content in whatever circumstances. I know how to survive in tight situations, and I know how to enjoy having plenty. In fact, I have learned how to face any circumstances, fed or hungry, with or without. So consider one of those three things that you picked, and then ask yourself the following three questions. What is a human need that you are trying to fill? Why do you think you treat this thing as scarce by consuming beyond your need? And what is this telling you about your desires, values, and where you put your trust? We'll take a few more minutes, and then we'll share as we feel comfortable. Give us like 4 minutes. We'll go ahead and sort of just like immediately sharing out the things that are like not doing so well. We'll actually go ahead and talk about how we can do the experiments, and then we'll have something good to hear before this. They're just like, yeah, I totally need a whole pizza by myself. So this is what we're going to do to create this experiment for ourselves this week. Imagine what it would be like to truly appreciate and savor the abundance that God gives you. So in order to experience God's abundance and contentment, set a deliberate limit this week. So maybe 3 total hours of Netflix, 1 plate of food with no seconds, 3 meals that include meat, only 1 beer, 1 soda, only 30 minutes on social media. And then remember, as you stick to your limits, remember to not deprive yourself. Try to truly enjoy what God has given you. Because the point is not just to go, I'm going to set aside my phone and now I'm going to just like sit in the dark and be miserable. But really enjoying my evening, instead of taking a second helping of food, really take the time to just savor that first helping. Instead of having 2 beers with your dinner, just have one and like really enjoy that beer. Like just taste how good. Again, maybe okay, Breaking Bad and beer. This is going in like weird directions. So think for yourself. What are some things I can do this week? Self-limits I can make. And then what are things that I can do to really enjoy the abundance that God has given me? And then you're going to keep a gratitude journal this week. So either do this in a note on your phone if you use your phone a lot, if you're already keeping a journal. At the end of the day, write down three things that you are grateful for this week. And this is a thing that, like all of the research shows, is one of the best things you can do to have a more happy and fulfilled life. I've been doing this for the past month, and it's great. I am grateful for my gratitude journal. So go ahead, take a couple of minutes, reflect. What's a self-limit you can give yourself, and what can you do to really enjoy the abundance God has given you? Then we'll share with each other. Thank you. lately I've been going down the rabbit hole, especially like interesting and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so I'm finding that it's not really that useful.
Yeah.
But it, you know, I have a fear that it's not going to be not up to date with what's going on.
Right.
And so I'm thinking that I think I could probably limit that to at most 20 minutes a day, and use that time more productively.
Yeah. Nice. That's good. Yeah, I definitely have that one as well. Does anyone have any other ones? So Nick is going to be limiting his time in social media and looking at the news. Other ones?
Drinking, sports, yeah. News, all that stuff during the events and do more.
That happens.
I think that they enjoy that I put off the weekend.
Yeah, that's great.
I tend to spend too much time making sure my house is all very clean and organized to the point where I miss out on things like this.
Yeah.
I'm just exhausted then by the time I've done some of that. I'm going to let some of that go.
Yeah, that's really cool. Really good ones? To wrap ourselves up with this and just sort of reaffirm our commitment, Casey's going to just lead us in saying that prayer again one last time to remind us of what God has for us.
I know that I am cared for by an abundant provider. I choose to be grateful and trusting. I believe I have enough and that what I need will always be provided. I choose to be content and generous. I know that my choices matter for myself, for others, and for future generations.
Help me to live honestly and creatively, celebrating the signs of your new creation that is present and coming.
Creator who made me to seek the greater good of your kingdom, guide me
to use my time, talents, and resources.
Teach me to be free, to live without worry,
fear, or greed, in the freedom of your abundance.
Give me my daily bread as I share with those in need. Thank you
for the precious gift of life.
Great.
Nick and Casey, thank you for bringing us this message and this challenge to bring into our lives, our homes, and our relationships, but so well done, and so much to grab onto, and so clear of God's heart in all this. Lord, as Keith and Michael lead us in another song to take the time to reflect on what we've heard, and also let God meet us where we're at. We're all in different places with different needs and challenges in that next step of faith. But come to his table in your timing and meet him there and feel his presence in your life and his goodness and abundance. I love that famous line of Jesus is that he came not just to give us life, but life abundant. Has that abundance already for us. We just need to see it that way. And so, Lord Jesus, thank you that you are with us. And you have so much for us. Help us to see the world around us in a way that you can bring to us. And Lord, let that just transform the way we do everything and the way we live and give. Let us do that in great faith this week. Let's stand as we sing together. And prayer team is in the back of the room for those who
need prayer, we would love to pray for you.
Thank you. Thank you. The heart, the heart counts on the tunes. Come on. It's like all of a sudden it's like off colors. Oh, it's right here.
It's inverted. How do you get the colors to go back?
A lot of gaming stuff up here.
I know. I was like, what is all this stuff?
One. Oh, no, that's messages. Don't want to look at their messages. Let's just go to settings really quick. Oh, it's all weird.
I know, isn't it? I was just like, I don't know what's going on there. Display and brightness?
It's like a weird one. I've done it one time on my phone for Halloween.
I was like, oh, that's kind of cool.
No, it's up higher.
Control center?
Maybe. One of It's like one of these first ones. Do you remember when I did that inverted thing with my phone?
Inverted thing?
Yeah, so you like change the colors to be like Halloween looking.
Well, you're already eating. What do you mean you can't have one?
Find it easier. Right,
ta-da. You're not disturbing at all.
One of these things. You just gotta like fiddle with it until you find it. Storage, background. Because it's inverted, like the colors are like Halloween looking. That doesn't smell.
Is that not
no, it's not. Somebody like did something. I just can't remember where it is. Let me get my phone.
It's under accessibility.
I was like, where is it? There, and then you change it. I just know it's inverted. Color. So go all the way.
Switch control, larger text, button shapes. Vision. Voiceover, display on page, speech, larger text, bold text, button shape, increase contrast? No. And then reduce motion, switch control. That's interaction. I don't want interaction.
Okay, here, go down to all the way accessibility shortcut. Go all the way down. In there. At the bottom. There.
Oh, there it is.
There.
Super colors come.
I was like, I know how to do this only on my phone.
Yeah. It's fine. Is that in my pocket?
I know.
You want me to open it?
Who did that? Who?
Okay.
recommend finding something that puts your name on it, because if it stays here too long, it'll be thrown away. I will not talk to
Thank you. So,
at some